Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
All right. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Welcome to our Blog Talk Radio show. We haven't been here in a while. I missed you guys, but we're back. I'm glad to be here today. Brother Uriah, if you can hear me, please push one. I need to know you can hear me because I'm on a different phone now. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Shalom, shalom, everyone. I hope I'm coming in loud and clear. Glad to be here today. You know, glad to be able to have this platform. I'm glad to be able for us to make have our voice known, heard, without, you know, being an influence but a hindrance or an issue with the movement that's going on among our nation and with our people. You know, it's a blessing to be here. You know, it's a blessing to have some words to say. You know, I'm just glad, you know, that we have had this opportunity, you know, to be able to talk. I just want to know, you know, I guess my thing is today is, you know, I have a lot of things to talk about. But the biggest thing, you know, like I said, I've been watching this movement. I'm really excited about the way that it's going because, you know, people are talking. People are waking up. You know, the Israelites are finally being heard. You know, the men are out there making their presence known. I think all that's beautiful. I really do. I think it's beautiful. Yeah, but there's a little bit of issues, you know. But, you know, like I said, first of all, I want to make this statement, you know, that, you know, never ever are we ever in the position to put our men down or to make our men feel less than. It's been enough of that. It's been enough of that. It's been enough of, you know, even though we're still in this captivity, we're still living in these lands of our captivity, I'll say that, you know, it's never, this on this radio show, it is never our intention to put our men down or our women down, ever, you know. But, you know, the problem with the awakening is, and I want to make this known to the listening audience, the people who are listening to, that have been listening to me for over almost 20 years. You know, we're going to have our 20-year anniversary next year in March. So it's going to be a big to-do. We're going to bring in some of our old guests and just have a real live party because we've been on the show for almost 20 years. I think. Let me make sure before I say that. Let me think. Yeah, absolutely, 20 years. So it's a blessing, you know. But I just want to say, you know, to those people that are listening out there that are being exposed to this movement, these new people that are listening, you know, again, I can't reiterate enough, be careful with where you go. You know, just be careful with where you go. Do not join anyone or anything until you pray about it first. Make sure that you go before the Most High and stay in prayer and fasting to be able to decide if that's where you want to be. Don't go on the way people look. Don't go on the way the camps look. Don't go on the way of who's at the camps, who's joined wherever they've joined because, you know, even though we're gathering as a nation in exile, there is a lot of moving components to this thing. There's a lot of different teachings. There's a lot of different traps that you can get caught up in. Now, I'm not saying that one group is better than the other one, or you just have to do your homework and make sure that you're going into it for the right reason. You know, that's all I'm going to say. You know, because we sometimes tend to gravitate to the things that's popular, or we sometimes tend to gravitate, and I know in church, they would go to the church where it looked like people had the most money. It didn't care about the spiritual part of it. They went to the places where the pastor drove the best kind of car. You know, it was almost like a competition. So some people look at that. So you be very careful. This is too serious of a movement to make those kind of decisions under those circumstances. So just please be careful. We had a really good class yesterday. I think it was very good. You know, it gave us an opportunity to understand, you know, how this thing is done, how it's written, you know, and what the Most High has to say about all of it. So, you know, all of that, you know, knowing all of those things and stay in that scripture, stay in the word. Stay in the word of Yah. Because that's where your power is going to be, is in his word. But again, it is a beautiful thing to see our black men and women, but preferably our black men, because church has always been full of women. You know, we've always been there to be the spiritual foundation for our nation. But it's a beautiful thing to see our black men stepping up with that Bible in their hand. It's a blessing. So, like I said, never is it our intentions to put them down or to, you know, or to make them feel like, you know, that we are not excited about that, because we are, you know. And they come in, you know, they have different levels. You have the street preachers, and them guys been out there for years. They've been out there for years with a Bible in their hand, telling the people who they are, preaching the scriptures about us being Israel. No? And the one thing we do have in common between all the groups is that we know we're Israel. We know we're Israel. We believe in the Most High and that we're his chosen people. We know that. You know, that, and we know we're family. And that's the biggest thing. We are the descendants of 12 brothers that came from one man. So we know we're family at the end of the day. But just like all other families and all other nations, you have people that have different beliefs, different walks, different ways, different. Oh. It's very interesting to watch this. That's all I'm going to say. It's very interesting to watch this. Like I said yesterday, I was tempted the other day to write a letter to a specific person, and the Most High told me no, so I didn't do it, you know. But this is the question that I have for today. Do you all think that it's okay for the people of the other nations to come among us and worship Yah with us? That's first question. And then the second question is, do you believe that when you have ministries that have multicultural people that do not profess to be Israel, do you believe that they have been completely honest with sharing the prophecies of what the Bible says is going to be the prophecies that they have to fulfill? So, I mean, you know, and try not to answer that question from a, and I'm going somewhere with this, you know, try not to answer that question from an emotional standpoint, but, you know, I just want to know. So anybody, please push one. Do you believe that it is okay for the nation, the other people of the other nations, to come among us and worship Yah with us? That's the first question. Anybody feel free to push one. I just want to know what you think. And I want you to be honest. And don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Please, you know, I want your feedback. I want to know what you think. All right, let's see. Area code 478, I'll be with you. Go ahead, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
And yeah, I mean, the second question where you said, you know, do you think they've been honest with their congregations? I don't think so. And that's not from an emotional standpoint. I just don't think so, because, you know, you look at it from an aspect of, if I was a member of the other nations, you telling me all of this, that, and third and other, if you really being honest,
yeah,
and you talking about all the prophecy, everything that's in that book, I don't think they are telling them all of that. And as far as the first question, do I think it's right for the children of Israel, you know, for the other people of the other nations to come with us right now? I mean, to serve and worship with us. I don't have a problem with the other people, other nations worshiping Yahweh, but right now, I think Israel has to get itself together. I say we have so many things to work on. We all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And how can they come among us? I'm also a little distrustworthy of, because sometimes it appears like when these people come amongst us, they have an agenda, and sometimes it's like the truth gets distorted because we're so up under this delusion. Not maybe you yourself or me or the people on this call, but there's a lot of our people up under this thing where we want to please the other nations. And mm-hmm. and right now, we need to get our act together. We need to learn how to pray and serve our Elohim. And then when you go to the word, he does say, he tells us, one, gather yourselves together.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anything in there about all nations and all that, gather yourselves together. I didn't see that. If I did, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to miss that, but I think we need to. I mean, I don't believe in disparaging the people of the other nations. I don't. I really don't. But I think at some point here, we as a collective people need to come to get together and learn how to serve our Elohim. Learn how to pray. We got to learn how to deal with each other.
Okay. You hold that thought. Let me get area code 504. Area code 504, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, he said mostly what I was going to say, that number one, that we need to learn how to worship ourselves, because we're just now learning through your teachings who our God is and who he really is. We really, how are we going to bring someone else aboard? And we're learning. And like the young man said, that he said for us to gather ourselves. We do have to learn how to do our own worshiping. Now, as far as the second question, should they come among us and worship with us? That's a yes and no. I don't know, because he said that when he gathered us and take us to the wilderness, that there were going to be other nationalities that's going to cling to us. But I think they're going to have to learn, once we learn how to worship our God, those that cling to us and come, they have to be taught. But
right.
As far as them coming into the congregation right now, and they don't even know the whole truth about the prophecies, I don't think so, unless you're going to sit them down and teach them the prophecies about us and about them. And a lot of them may leave because they don't want to hear that. And so I don't think so. Like I said, it's a yes and no, but personally, no. I don't have anything against the other nationalities, but like the man before me said, we trying to get ourselves together. We got to learn how to come among our own people first and how to worship our God. And then maybe later on we could teach them. I don't know.
Okay, well, you
so
hold that
all.
Thought. I'm going to leave your mic open because I have another question. Area code 337, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Well, you have to go back, and when you say the other nations, if you go to Genesis chapter 10, verse 5, it says Japheth. These were the isles of the Gentiles. So Japheth is Gentile. Yeah, Ham not a Gentile. So when you say the other nations, you got to go back and break down who's who before you can even make sure you can deal with it. And then you have to go to 2 Samuel. David has a mighty man. Right? That's the answer to the first question. Verse 39, Uriah the Hittite. Uriah is a mighty man. He's a giant. But he was led to Bathsheba.
Right.
Yeah. So that's three different types of people right there. But that's not intentional. That's not intentional.
can understand that. Okay, so let me say this. Now, I have a new phone, so if I have to, if I cut off for a moment, I might have to switch over, but I just got this one. So I just want to say the reason why I asked this question is because, you know, I was listening. I always listen around Israel to see what the mood is and the spirit is around Israel. And I was listening to some brothers talk, you know, and I was listening to some Israelite so-called pastors talk. I won't say so-called pastors talk. And, you know, they were saying that it's okay because of what the New Testament says, it's okay for them to come in and believe in Jesus. And as long as they believe in Jesus, they are Israel. It's okay for them to come in and accept. Now, Brother Erico 337, I know where you stand. So this is really directed toward the other people. It's okay to believe in Jesus because as long as they believe in Jesus, they are already one of us, and they are basically spiritual Israel as long as they believe in Jesus. And when I heard that, I was like, okay, but, you know, everybody gravitates toward the New Testament and Paul and how Paul set up the church for the Gentile, you know, but when you understand it, you know, we're not just in the New Testament. We are in the Old Testament, too. The Old Testament is very much alive, and we're very much fulfilling scriptures in the Old Testament. And even though, you know, the we believe in the whole Bible, the majority of us on this line, even though we believe in the whole Bible, we are still pretty much in the New Testament. I mean, in the Old Testament, because we are fulfilling Old Testament scriptures. So if that's the case, that's where our identity is. That's where our Elohim introduced himself to Abraham at. He introduced himself to Isaac and Jacob. That is where the beginning of the 12 tribes were. That is where the covenant was made. That is where we agreed to keep his covenant by an oath. We took an oath. That is where we disobeyed him. And matter of fact, that is where the outline of where we're sitting today is where we identify it. It is in the Old Testament. Not only that, in the Old Testament, it also talks about what is going to happen to the other nations, what their punishment is going to be, what their judgment is going to be. So I wonder when I heard some of these pastors that have set up these churches telling these people that it's okay for you to serve Jesus, and if you come in and you serve Jesus, you're going to be all right because you're one of us. And I was like, are you really telling them everything?
No.
No.
No, I don't think so either.
Do they know what's coming? And they'll say, well, because, you know, under the blood of Christ, you know, they'd be spared from that. And I'm saying to them, that's not true either. Because
nope. It
was the Israelites that walked with the Messiah. And he even told them when he was alive that he said at a certain time there will be not one stone left upon another. This whole thing is going down. And you're going to have to basically run up out of here just to survive. And we did those things. We ran up out of Jerusalem into Africa. We did those things. And even though we knew what the prophecy said, when we ran into Africa, we felt like we had escaped the curse. But guess what? At the appointed time, the Gentile nations and whomever else was involved in that, they came and got us. Why? Because those prophecies had to be fulfilled. And my thing is this. Be totally honest with these people of the other nations, that you taking their money, you taking their tithe money, you got these people believing that they're in a safety zone and everything is going to be all right because they believe in Jesus. Because we still believe in Jesus over here, well, the Messiah, I'll say the Messiah over here, and we still going through the curses. We were still getting shot down in the street. We were still getting the things done to us that was being done to us in Deuteronomy 28. Why? Because we still have to fulfill those prophecies.
And they have to fulfill theirs.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Exactly what the sister just said. They have to fulfill theirs. And, you know, and part of me wants to say that's how they try to get out of things because, okay, it's one thing to cleave unto Israel, And that's fine, but you still got to get what you got to get.
No punishment.
I mean, we wasn't spared at all.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
They're not going to be spared. And as far as these pastors saying, these teaching, you know, saying that we still believe in Jesus, so to speak, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to be through. If they're putting out there like that, you still believe in Jesus, I think it's a lot goes into the word and the meaning of a word. If you still saying Jesus, then that mindset still going to be there, and those people still going to treat that thing like a church, and they still going to treat you just like plain old Christianity. You're still paying tithes. You're no different than them churches on the street.
I agree.
I'm with you.
Yes, and they also are being taught in that setting that they're going to be raptured out of here. They think they're going to be saved,
mm-hmm.
and they just call on that name, Jesus, and, hey, I'm saved. And if you go to the Catholic Church, because I grew up in that church until I got out and joined other churches and then found out I was Hebrew and came out of all of them. But the Catholic Church was teaching that you just come in and confess your sin, and you go through this revolving door, go out there and commit the sin again, and you get hit by a car, you're going to heaven because you did a confession, and even though you went out there and did that sin, and you call on the name Jesus, and you're going straight to heaven. And that's a lie. The people are being fed a lie. And these pastors are going to have to stop teaching the rapture, because the rapture is not the next big thing coming anyway. They have
that's
to be
true.
Taught about our punishment and their own punishment that's coming upon them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my point. I believe a lot of people, some of these Israelite groups, and not all of them, but a lot of them that have a multicultural congregation, and I'm not talking about the ones who believe they're Israelites. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about other nations that have come in that believe that because they believe in Christ and because he shed his blood on the cross, that you're going to escape the punishment. It doesn't matter because we believed in him. We still sitting here believing in the Messiah. We believe in the Messiah, but the fact of the matter is that we're still going through our punishment. And the fact of the matter is it doesn't matter whether you believe in him, whether you keep in the high holy days, whether you are keeping the Sabbath day, whatever you're doing, there's still a punishment for your nation the same way it was a punishment for our nation, and we believed in the Messiah. Our ancestors walked with him when he was on this earth. They saw the miracles that he did. These we came out of Jerusalem understanding more than any other nation could ever know. But the fact of the matter is, we still had to fulfill that prophecy. And I've heard them dance around with stuff. Well, you know, if we hadn't been disobedient, you know, it's almost like it's all our fault. You know, we're disobedient, but because you believe in Jesus and you accept him and everything is okay, you're gonna be okay. And it's like that is damnable heresy. Because you're putting these people in a situation without truly telling them what's going to happen to them. And the issue is, and I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The issue is a lot of it is because some of these men have went wives from the other nation.
That's fact. That's a
and
fact. You're not getting into it.
And
they're trying to save them.
A long time ago, and I said, this is going to be a problem. When truth comes, it's going to shake up everything.
And another thing, too, what you just said about they always pointing out that we messed up and we disobeyed and that's why we were punished. But guess what? Their ancestors messed up, too, because they went way beyond the punishment that he told them to inflict upon his people. So they got to realize they carry a bloodline from somebody back there. Because, see, they bring up, oh, I like black people. I get along with the other nation. I get along with the Israelites, and I don't have no enemy. But you got to go through your bloodline. You got to trace back to your bloodline because your ancestors did some cruel things, too.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, All I'm saying is it's okay to worship. You know, if you want to worship Yah, if you want to keep the Sabbath, if you want to keep the high holy days, if you want to repent, it's okay to do those things. However, be completely honest with your people. Don't try to play be in the facade like we all the way in the New Testament and this is about Paul now because it's them. No, be all the way honest because not only are the Gentiles in the New Testament, but they're also in the Old Testament. And the Most High names them by name as a nation and the things that are going to happen to them when as this thing progresses along. And I feel like they're not being honest. You know, they're just not being honest.
No, they're not because they want the money.
Exactly. And we know that, you know, it's a money grab now, you know, because you listen to, you know, the Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you listen to some of these people saying, well, we know, you pro ball players can't really give us the money, but feed it down through your family members and give it to the so-and-so, make sure we get it, you know, the blah, blah, blah. Our mandate is to gather ourselves. One thing I want to say to everyone is this, is that we are not a church. We are a nation. Now, what that means is whatever Paul was establishing in the New Testament, those were for the Gentiles. But the Israelite, what we are a nation, and the way we worship and the way we are spiritually connected to Yah is when we keep his laws, his statutes, and his commandments, we obey the Ruach. That is how we are to worship him as a nation. This is a lifestyle that we live. And it is a beautiful lifestyle when you're not hung up on isms and schisms. But to me, from what I have watched, these people have went out and set up something so similar to the church, even though they condemn the church, they set up something so similar to it that it's just, it seems like the church turned inside out. If that's the way you want to do it, to be able to gather people, that's fine. But my thing is this, be honest when you go to pull them scriptures out because you can't go into the Old Testament when it applies to us and stay in the New Testament when it applies to them. That's not how it works. Be 100% honest. Hold on, let me get the mics over because we hot today. Area code 214, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm listening to you, and one of the things that you're saying, are they being honest? Well, first of all, from what I heard, they aren't even being honest with their own, with the Israelites. If you're talking about tithes and you're talking about following Jesus and not really understanding that when we're talking about Cesar Borgia, we're not talking about our Messiah. We're talking about a false god. So it sounds to me like we're starting with a false premise, the first, you know, with dishonesty to begin with. With regard to people coming in and worshiping with us, I think it's okay. But the thing is that, as you've always said, Judah has to lead. We cannot have people come in and then think they're going to start running things because they see a better way of doing it. We are learning how to worship our Elohim. That's one thing. But I also think about one reason why I think it's acceptable is that we know that people are going to cling to us. And also, in some of the previous messages or lessons we've had, we've talked about the regeneration and how we've been here before. And I'm thinking some of these people may be the very people that are going to have a lesser judgment because they weren't as complicit in what was done to us. And if they cling to us, the very laws that we are looking to have the Messiah, our Father, he says, if you do these things, you shall live. If you do these things, the blessings will overtake us. This is how we come out of the curses, by doing what he told us to do. He says that if we do them, the blessings will overtake us. Well, to me, this is a universal law. It's going to work regardless. Whoever does it, if they follow his law, statutes, and commandments, there is a guaranteed end. If these people come in amongst us and they do what he says to do, even if they have a judgment coming, I think it can be mitigated by them obeying what he told them to do. It's just like when people have come to him who weren't Israelites, when they came to the Messiah and they said, bless, you know, heal my daughter. Well, you know, but you're not even worthy to get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. But I'm willing, she said, I'm willing to humble myself. And he blessed her because of her faith, because she was really acting in compliance with what he said she was supposed to have done. She honored him and believed him. We believe and show our belief in what the Father has told us through our obedience. And so I'm thinking these may be, one, people who have actually been here before and, as I said, are less complicit, and also who can actually offset some of the judgment they might otherwise experience if they are willing to obey and willing to do what the Messiah – that doesn't mean that they're going to totally escape. We didn't totally escape, but to the extent that we could do what he told us to do, even if some of it was unknowingly, if we were doing our best to obey, we still had a benefit from doing that. So those are the two things that I think of, and one reason why I think it might be okay for them to come in and be amongst us, because it may be something that we – they may not be like the vast majority of people who are going to sit there and say, I'd rather be lost than to acknowledge us, you know, they would rather be lost than acknowledge us as a people or obey what our Elohim says to do. So those are the things I think about with regard to your question.
All right, hold on. Let me get the mic open. Area code 330, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Hey, shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
All right, so I wanted to tell you, I had text you some things about a certain person that was dealing with my mom, and it actually worked. And I'm so appreciative of that, if you remember what I was talking about.
Yes, I do. All praises. Yes, sir.
Okay, so it actually worked, and I am so happy. So I just thank you for the prayers that you put in for me and that person, and that person too. So
praise.
That's what I wanted to say, and thank you very much.
My pleasure, sir. Shalom, shalom. So, you know, I'm with you 100%, Sister Yusantia, you know, and all that's good. I agree 100% that them by them doing that and keeping the law, statutes, and commandments, and it may lessen their punishment, but they still have to go through what their nation is going to have to go through. And that's what I'm afraid of, is that they're not showing them the way to go. They're not giving them the full picture of it all, but because they're saying under salvation, because we have salvation, that now, and it's the same teaching, it's the church, and some of these people will vilify the church, but you're doing the same thing. It sounds so similar that it's really hard to differentiate between the two, because I'm not, let me say this, I don't have a prejudice bone in my body. I do not. I say it all the time, I do not. But what I'm saying is this, is that if they come, make sure they know everything. Make sure that they know everything, because you can lead people astray thinking that it's going to be okay just because you keep the law, statutes, and commandments. We were keeping the law, statutes, and the commandments before Rome came in and took over. Then Rome still came. They still destroyed Jerusalem. We still ran into Africa. And then we came into captivity. So his word is not going to come back void, and it's heresy when you teach one side of the book and you don't go back into the other side of the book for the other nations, because their punishment is in there too. And I've heard some of the brethren say, well, we don't like what the other camps are teaching because they cater more to the emotional side of the Israelites, and it feeds into anger, and it brings anger when Christ is all about love. And you know, it's the love of Yah that draws. It is. It's the love of Yah that draws men unto repentance. It is. You know, but a lot of that is because of the connection that some people have with these people of the other nations. And let me say this. I'm not against whatever you did, you did. You know, whoever you loved. But, like I said, when truth comes, truth upsets everything. You know, I heard Brother Nathaniel say, and I had to research it, that in the book of Nehemiah, when the men came with the women of the other nations as wives, now these brothers knew better. It's different because We're in this captivity and we did not know. But when these brothers came with wives of the other nations, they had 90 days to get rid of the wives and the children. And a lot of them couldn't do it. See, this is the stuff that these people don't understand about who Yah is. As it pertains to Israel as a nation. You know what? I'm telling y'all, that's why the teaching that we did last Saturday and the stuff that we, in the scriptures that we talked about yesterday and this teaching that we're going to deal with next Sabbath day, and you really got to understand, because it's a lot of misinformation. It's a lot of misinformation. I mean, it really is. It really, really is. So, I mean, you know, and my thing is just be honest. Be honest with what the Bible says. Don't leave anything out just because you feel like this it doesn't apply to them because you're trying to build a congregation. Because this is some serious stuff. He said no nation is going to get away. No nation is going to get away. And my thing is, if he did this to his own people, the people he chose, for himself, no other nation is going to escape. They're not. And then my next question is this. When he says, I'm coming to get you, Israel, I'm going to gather you from the four corners of the earth, does that include the other nations that are professing to be a part of our nation? I'm asking.
I think it may, and the reason I think it may is because we know that in the millennial kingdom, there are 12 gates, one for each tribe, but also there's an area that's set aside for the strangers if they choose to dwell amongst us. Now, I was actually talking with my sister about this topic because we have a lot of these marriages in our family. We're wondering what the heck is going to happen. It seems to me that one of the best case scenarios is that they will not be considered, they'll have to give up their lot with the tribes, and they probably will have to reside in that area that's designated for the stranger. So we know that there is going to be that area. So I'm thinking, yes.
But that's okay, the thousand-year reign.
Go ahead, sis. What was
okay, I was saying that what she's talking about is during the thousand-year reign.
Right.
You're talking about the second Exodus when he come together his people from the four corners. So those are
right.
Two different.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't know if he's gathering them. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I don't know if he's going to gather them from the four corners. This may simply be those people that claim at that point in time.
Okay. And that's the thing. Hold on, let me get Brother Yerushalayim's mic back open. That's the thing. You know, like she said, the next thing to happen is the second Exodus. This is the biggest moment of world history. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when it's going to he initiates it. I don't know when it's going to happen, but he said he was coming back to get Israel. He's got to put Israel in its proper place. Where is that at? That is on the land of Canaan. That's the land he gave us. He did not give us America. He did not give us the Caribbean. He did not give us Australia. He did not give us Rome. We are scattered to the four corners of the earth. Now, he said, I'm coming back. I promise I'm going to come back and get you and bring you back to the land of Canaan. Who has to go first? The people that have served the 400 years, that has to be us. Now, we ain't going to get into that dilemma because that's the way. If you want to know the teaching on the 400 years, because we have people saying, oh, that happened in Egypt, and Egypt was this, and that was already in Egypt, and we wasn't here. For there is a group of people that is on this soil that is the seed of Abraham that have been in this land for 400 years. Not only been in this land, but have been afflicted for 400 years. We were not afflicted in Egypt for 400 years. When we walked into Egypt, we were a friend of Pharaoh's through Joseph. He gave us the best land until Joseph died. So we were not afflicted, that Genesis 15:13 says, for 400 years. There is a group of people on this soil. You know why I say it's this soil? Because this nation passed the law. They have identified themselves as that nation. We've been here for 400 years. So we have to go first. The question is, though, as we go first, who comes with us? He said, I'm going to put Israel back to their prospective places. So, you know, my thing is, be honest with these people. I'll be honest, because you're creating and you're delivering an outcome that's giving them a sense of security that I don't believe exists. I just don't believe, and that's not fair. You have to be completely honest with this thing, because it's really not fair for them to be up on the pulpit singing, and then, you know, to come to find out that when the rubber meets the road, you're not coming. And they'll say, well, you know, I don't think that's fair because Jesus, you know, they believe in Jesus. And we believed in Jesus, too. We believed in him, too. Like I said, it was 12 disciples, and all of them were Israelites. Christ was an Israelite from the tribe of Yehuda. Our ancestors walked with him. They saw the miracles that was being done, but he prophesied to them that Jerusalem was going to be trodden down by the Gentile, and there would be not one stone left upon another. And sure enough, it happened exactly the way he said it. Rome came in and sacked it in 70 AD, and we was out of there. We went into Africa, or the prospective places where we went. And as a result of that, when the time came for the prophecies to be fulfilled, the nations came and got us and put us into slavery while we was believing in Jesus. While the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit been here 2,000 years ago. And that's another thing. You're teaching something that the book talks about 2,000 years ago, and I'm kind of like Sister Yasantia. I believe that because this was taught 2,000 years ago, it's already finished. The people who are supposed to make it or have already been chosen. We teach it from the perspective like the scripture's got to catch up with us. No, it's already finished. He wrote the end from the beginning. But you got to be honest, because you're not telling these people the truth, in my opinion.
Well, it's going to be hard for a lot of those people to accept the truth, because by them believing in Jesus, and they've been taught that Jesus loves everyone, so it's no way that they're going to get any kind of punishment or be left when he comes together his people. So that's going to be kind of hard for them to accept. That's my take on it, you know.
Yeah. You know?
But
you know,
Jesus
did
love everyone. Yeah, he did love everyone, because he said, Jacob I love and Esau I hate. So that, you know, proves that he doesn't love everyone, but they've been brainwashed with that all their lives. It's going to be kind of hard for them to accept, you know, the truth when you do, you know, tell them.
Yeah, I agree. That's the truth. You know, that the scripture says that, you know, those people that we were captive, that held us in the captivity is going to go into captivity. You know, those people going to be sold to the Sabians. You know, you got to be honest with these people about what the scripture said. And I mean, you know, maybe they know all this. Maybe it's okay for them to be there. I don't know. I just, it's really hard, you know, to be able to know that and you know, and still smile and grin and think everything is okay. It's hard to believe that they're being completely honest. I just don't think so. you know, because nobody's going to stay just because they believe in Jesus. I mean, that's
those that are married, for those that have the interracial marriage and they're married to the other Gentiles, how do you explain that to your spouse? That they may not make it, you know. They may, that if you are male and you are Hebrew Israelite and you telling your spouse that you're not a Hebrew Israelite, you are a Gentile, and that the history, you know, what your people did, that a great punishment is coming, that might break up a lot of marriages.
I'm sure it has already. I mean, some of the brothers were saying it has already. That the women have walked away and took the children. I'm sure has already. I mean, you know, I'm sure has already. And, you know, and they'll say from one thing, oh, that sounds racist. That's not racist. That's what the Most High told us as a nation. Let me pull that scripture up so we'll make sure you don't think it's us. I'm getting ready to give it to you. You know? Oh, this is serious business. He has a certain way that we are supposed to live. And this has been proven, tried and proven, because a lot of people have said, as soon as I came into the truth, she walked off. Deuteronomy chapter 7, we going back into the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 7, 3 and 4. He said, neither shall thou make marriages. Let me go back. I'm going to do the whole thing. I ain't going to do the whole thing, but I'm going to go back to, we ain't going to start it. Then we're going to go up some a little bit. Okay, here we go. It says, when the Most High thy Elohim bring thee into the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Havites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Most High thy Elohim shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Well, we know Israel disobeyed. They didn't do that either. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. He said, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto their sons, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Why? For they will turn away thy sons from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Most High be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. So the Most High is telling you, as it pertains to the people of the other nations, and they'll say, well, those were just those people. That don't mean if we're talking about all nations. Yes, it is, because I can show you a scripture where he tells us, don't even marry outside your tribe. So, and the thing about it is this, we didn't know. We didn't know. You know, you can't be held accountable for something that you didn't know.
But you're woke now, so those people that are waking up, and they know now, so what's the excuse?
Well, I mean, you know, he said, let me finish this, we're going to address that. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Most High thy Elohim. The Most High thy Elohim has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. So, and then it goes on to tell, he tells you why he chose you. He said, I didn't choose you because you were the largest people on the planet. You was the fewest people. He said, but because the Most High loved you and because he would keep the oath which he swore unto your fathers, have the Most High brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He said, so know therefore that the Most High thy Elohim, he is Yah, the faithful Elohim, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So, you know, and it's not being racist, but he does not want us to mix with the other. We are not supposed to do that, but we did it. Some people have done it. you know, not knowingly, we done it. You can't, you know, you falling in love with somebody from the other nation. We did it. They did it. You know, and it's a tough, we talked about this a long time ago, that how when truth finally comes, it's going to upset the status quo. It's going to upset everything. It's going to upset everything. And some of the women have left. The husband had kept the kids and went on about their business. They gone. It's a very interesting situation to be in. I mean, my thing is just be honest. Don't paint a sugar-coated picture. Don't try to make it be something it's not. Be honest with them people. Because nobody's going to escape. We had to go through ours. Everybody else is going to have to go through theirs. Now, there will be Gentiles that will come out of it. There will, like Sister Eustachia said, there will be Gentiles that will be saved out of it. Just like we were saved out of what we went through, there is some that's going to make it out of it. I believe that. But you still got to go through it with your nation just like we went through it with ours. No. So, it's a very touchy situation. I knew this was coming, man. This is coming. It's going to shake up everything. It really is.
Now, when the angels come to gather the people, they gonna gather who is marked to be gathered.
That's true.
So I don't know if when they come to gather you, because they gonna be in the human form, they're not gonna be angels with wings, you know. So when they come to gather you, and you married to someone of the other nation, and they said no, just you, then I think you have a choice to follow the angel. Well, no, I'm not leaving. I'm staying with my spouse. Then you, I think, gonna get left. I don't know.
I don't even know if that's gonna be an issue. Let me show you why I say that, because I don't even know if that's gonna be an issue, because when you go to Ezekiel chapter 39, I think it's Ezekiel 39. Ezekiel 39. It doesn't really say that. It doesn't say, it appears the way it reads, like you don't really have a choice. That's what I've been like, okay, maybe they have the choice to stay behind, you know, but the way Ezekiel 39 reads, it reads almost like you don't have a choice. Let me go down here to 39. We're going to start at 25. And he says, therefore, thus saith the Most High Elohim, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name, after that they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwell safely in their land and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' land, and I am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Most High their Elohim, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land. Now listen what it says. And have left none of them anymore there. So if he say he ain't leaving none of us here, it don't sound like you have a choice.
Yes, I agree. It's going to be like when the angels went to get Lot and his family. He didn't have a choice. They just said, come, you got to go.
Yeah, absolutely. He said, I'm going to leave none of them anymore there. So it really doesn't sound like there's going to be a choice. You know, now I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know. All I'm telling the people is be honest with these people. You know, be honest. Just be honest. You know what I'm telling? They'll tell them the truth. Go to those scriptures. Don't stay stuck in the New Testament under the same guise that Christianity did to avoid having to talk about these issues, because these have to be talked about. Because some people have made those decisions. They have made those choices. They have lived among these people of the other nations, and they have done what they have done, and they have married women of the other nations. And, you know, we did what we thought what was best for us. But this is the change. This is a restructuring of a nation. It's a gathering and a restructure of a nation. Why? Because in order for us to pull anybody else in, we have to know ourselves, like Brother Yerushalayim said, and we have to know our Elohim. Because he is nothing like what they called us in Christianity. Nothing. So, it's a very difficult thing. I mean, you know, I'm just, you know, it just when I saw that, I was like, whoa, wait a minute now. Wait. Hold on. Make sure you be honest. Tell them all of it. Talk about the prophecies that's going to happen to them. Talk about the prophecies that reflects their nations. Show them everything. Because Christianity has under the impression that the Old Testament has already been fulfilled. Don't keep anything. A lie by omission is a lie. Tell them all of it. Because we was under that same lie too. Oh, we just believe in Jesus and the rapture is coming and we're just going to poof, be caught up in the air. We're going to fly away with Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in the whole book, but it ain't time for that yet because the next great thing to happen is the second Exodus. We have to go back to the land of Canaan. It's just difficult. It's going to be very difficult. Be honest. You know? Be completely 100% honest. Because I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think that he's going to gather the women from the other nations or the men from the other nations with us because they're married to Israel?
I don't know. I just think that's hard to say. I mean, the word does say, he's going to gather all of us and none of us be left behind. And then if you go for a historical reference, you go back to the scriptures, you know, he did, you know, have, you know, when our people married outside of their tribe, you know, they had to get rid of four women for it. I hate to say it like that, but that's what it was.
It's slightly different, though, in that they had the statutes, the law, statutes, and commandments. They knew what they were supposed to do and what they were not supposed to do. At this point, a lot of people don't know that, but I can see what's happening now. As you said, some people have walked away. The winnowing or the dividing is happening already. So those people who are willing to leave all of this and cling to Israel, we know that some people are going. Then there are some people who don't. There are some people who are in relationships because that relationship gives them a status. There's a differential in power. And when they find themselves in a disempowered position, they may be saying, no, I'm not willing to do that. I like being on a pedestal. I like being looked up to. I am not willing to give up what I've had in this relationship. There are others that say, I'm in this relationship because I truly care about this person. And it's not about some stroking of my ego. And in that case, they're saying, I will leave everything that I know that's been a comfort to me. But one of the things that they'll have to suffer is the knowledge of what will be happening to those people that were left behind. Just like we in this captivity, there have been so many people we've been separated from, so much heartache and anguish because we've not been in a position to protect them or be with them. We just had to sit by and watch what happened to them. They are going to be in a similar position, even though they may be in a place of safety with us. So I can see people coming. I can also see people staying. And I think it really will depend on the condition of their hearts, who they are at their core. Because the Most High, he's going to judge all of us. He says he's taking us into the wilderness. He is going to weed out the rebels. He starts with Israel. I mean, if he's going to weed out the rebels amongst Israel, he's not going to, you know, put up with riffraff and crazy you know, derisive types of, you know, of views from people who are not even Israel. So I can see people staying and I can see people going based on who they are.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. Like you, that's a good point. We had to watch our children ripped from our arms. We had to watch our husbands and wives were separated from each other. You know, all of that had to happen because the Most High said it was going to happen. But now this is the scripture in Nehemiah chapter 13. He says, and they were rebuilding the temple and stuff from coming out of the Babylonian captivity. He said, in those days also I saw Jews that had married wives of Ashdod and of Ammon and of Moab. Now these were even children of Lot. These were actually, Ammon and Moab were actually Shemites. Because that was Lot's people, those were Lot's children. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. He said, and I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair and made them swear by Yah, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons or for yourselves. Did not King Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him who was beloved of Yah, and Yah made him king over all of Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause him to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our Elohim in marrying strange wives? And so he's asking these questions. You know, so this is not something that we're coming up with. This is not something that we're being prejudiced about. We were not supposed to do it. And some of us did it anyway. I mean, when you really go into, you know, if there were marriages arranged by the Most High. Ruth was a Moabite. She was. You know, Judah had his wife was a Canaanite. They did do those things. The Most High allowed certain things to happen. However, as a nation and being in as a group of people, he told us not to do it. So I just wonder how this is going to play out. Because I, too, have family members that are in my family that are of the other nations that some of my family members have married. And it's going to be very interesting. I'll tell you the truth. He says, remember them, O my Elohim, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleanse I them from all strangers and appoint the ward of priests and Levi, everyone in his business. So he did a offering, you know. So, I mean, you know, when you think about these things, this is going to be, this is just going to be interesting. I don't know. I really don't know. I'll just say, be honest. You got to be honest with these people, you know, because they're not going to escape the curse. I'm not the curse, they're punishment. No nation is going to get away. It's not. So I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know how. I just don't know. But like you said, Sister Yusantia, you know, it's nothing wrong with him keeping the high holy days and the feast days and you know, believing in the Messiah and doing the things that need to be done. But, it's you know, and that may be the prerequisite to get them through that when they have to go through their punishment with their nation, that might be the thing to get them through it. That's a good point. But you still got to go through it. We had to. No. And then Israel's going to be a speckled bird. It's going to be a speckled bird. We're going to have people of all shades, colors, all of that. So, you know, it's just going to be very interesting to see. You know, but the main thing is, you know, I have to be as cautious and gentle as I can possibly be because I don't mean to offend anyone. I mean, I really don't. But, you know, those are the things that as we begin to gather ourselves, these things become an issue. No? know, but Yah will do right. Whatever it is he does, he will do right. You know, but that word of his is not going to come back void under no circumstances for nobody. You know, and everybody's gravitating toward the New Testament, and that's fine. But we battling back and forth. Because we was considered the church in the wilderness. And we did not, and you know, the thing about it is, like we taught on Saturday, the other nations were given their own Elohims to worship. We cannot go by what their example of it is, because we have to learn out who our Elohim is and what he requires from us. Because salvation is to us first and then to the Greeks. That's a protocol. You know, so, you know, we're going to get into his kingdom and how this plays out next Sabbath. You know, so we invite everybody, you know, to join us on our Sabbath day, you know, and be a part of what we're trying to, you know, show, because they have to be honest. And as long as they know, hey, that's all you can do. You know, because that's all you can do. That's all you can really do at this point, is just do your best and to try to be honest. Be as honest as you possibly can. You know, I don't see anything wrong with it, because, you know, if I was them, I would keep it as much as I possibly could. No, I really would. I would. You know, just make sure that you're honest about how it... how things are going to end up, you know, because you can't give a person false hope. I mean, you know, because that's what we got in the church. We got false hope. They fed us false hope. Oh, yeah. The next big thing to happen is Jesus is coming to get us all. We're going to disappear in the sky, and everything is going to be, and everybody else is going to be left down here to go through the tribulation who don't believe in the Messiah. Well, that wasn't true. That's not the next thing to happen. Mm-mm. So that wasn't true.
I think of Ruth, and I think of Rahab. Now, some people say Ruth was not an Israelite. I don't know if she was or wasn't, but we know that Rahab was not. But with each of them, let's say they both were not Israelites. They all, both of them had to leave everything. They were able to take their immediate family, Rahab. Yeah. She could protect the people that were in her house. Everybody else perished. They had to make that decision. It's all or nothing. I'm all in. I leave and renounce everything that I was. And they were spared. But no one outside of their immediate circle was. And so we look at how things have played out down through the scriptures. We want, you had mentioned something about the gods. Now, I was here again talking with my sister, because we were saying, wait a minute, at the Tower of Babel, 70 gods, 70 nations, 70 languages, those gods are still here. We know that the gods will still be here, because in the millennial kingdom, each of those groups has to come up and pay tribute. So they're not serving the God of Israel.
No,
but yeah, we have.
I don't want you to teach my lesson now. Stop.
Sorry. We've already had this conversation.
I'm glad you own it. You know, because that is a whole other thing. You know, that's a whole other thing. You know, and that's the main thing. You know, that is the main thing. You know, that's the main thing. You know. Yeah, that's real crucial. That's exactly, you are absolutely correct. You know, that each one of them people will come up and serve the Most High in the name of their God, even though Israel is there. So that's the biggest thing. That's the main thing right there. You know? Real talk. Even with believing in Jesus. You know, real talk. You know, So I believe it's a lot of things that are not being said. A lot of things that are not being said. It's a lot of things that are not being taught. You know, a lot of things. It's really not. And even though we have a spirit of inclusion, you know, and they feel like they're included in, there's still a level of certain levels you won't reach. You won't. You won't reach it. And you'll still be beloved in his kingdom, but you won't reach a certain level. You just won't do it. It's just not going to be there. You know? And in this kingdom, while we are yet in this kingdom, there's a lot of things that have to happen before we even get to that. And everybody's talking about, well, they're not preaching the gospel. Well, you're not either. You're not preaching the gospel either, because the gospel is that Yahawashah is coming to set up a kingdom on this earth. He said when that's being preached all over the world, then the end shall come. You're not either. No. And guess what? That's the Elohim of Shem. When the Elohim of Shem comes, you know, he's going to set up his kingdom once that's being preached. But that's not being preached. You preach about his life, his death, his burial, and resurrection. That's what you're preaching about.
They're not even preaching for the people to gather themselves.
He said, Matthew 4:14, he said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So, no. What was you saying, sis? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was saying that they're not even preaching the part about the people gathering themselves now to prepare for the second Exodus. They're not preaching that.
No, because don't nobody want to leave. You know what, they scared to preach that. The people are already shocked about the fact that we Israel. I guess they be like, don't give them too much too fast. They really can't take all that. You know, because everybody's talking about, I ain't trying to go nowhere. I don't want to leave. I ain't They scared. They scared to preach that. You know, they don't want to preach that. And that's the storyline. We're leaving. We really are. And there's nothing nobody can do about it. If he said you leaving, you leaving. I heard one of the brothers say, this is a wonderful country. I don't want to go nowhere. And that's only because this is all we've known. But we have a sure word of prophecy. We have an Elohim that is going to change our lives around the way we think, the way we act, the way we dress, the way we see ourselves. All this is getting ready to change.
Now, is it true that once we get into the wilderness that we will be taught what clothes to wear, how to dress, and everything that we need to know?
I think so. I don't think he's going to make us wealthy and leave here wealthy for us to go back to to our land to look like everybody else. I think we're going to be put back at the status that we were supposed to be in the first place. and be alone and be with ourselves. Now, how he does that, I don't know. He didn't go into detail. But the judge of all the earth shall do right, because he'll be there with us. You know. We'll have access to 100% pure fabrics. We'll have access to all the other things. We'll already have gold and silver. We'll have all those things. No. We'll already be have those things to be able to buy whatever we need and have our own food source and do whatever we need to sustain ourselves. You know, because he promised us that we would. So, you know, it's a lot. I mean, it's, like I said, it's a lot to this. Just, and again, to everyone who is listening to us and you're listening to YouTube and you're seeing the movement, you know, just pray about where you're supposed to go. Go before the Most High and ask him for direction. Because this is not a church. We are a nation. And this is not, this is a lifestyle that we live every day. And it is a beautiful thing when you learn how to live it. It is a beautiful thing when you free yourselves from all of the isms and schisms that we've been bogged down with. You know, it's a freedom that we have, you know, and that we can worship him in spirit and in truth. It's a beautiful lifestyle that we can live among them but not be of them because we are a peculiar people. And when he said come out from among them, we are not of them. We don't do the things that everybody else does. There's just the difference between this and Egypt is there's no one location. There's no Goshen. We're scattered all over the neighborhoods of every city, every country, all the lands. We're everywhere, but they should be able to identify you by the lifestyle that you live. And the world wants to make it seem like it's a spiritual church thing. Oh, you got to come to church to get it. No, no, no. All you got to do is know your Elohim to get it. And the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, will show you what to do for the Israelite. Now, the Gentile, they may need that. But as for the Israelites, we know that our deliverance is to come back to ourselves as Israelites, read that word, get to know our Elohim, keep his law, statutes, and his commandments, and walk this thing out in the newness of life. This is what it is. That's what it's about. Let me give you, we have our Bible classes every Sabbath at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the number is 518-992-1014. Again, 518-992-1014, and the access code is 256-039-POUND, 256-039-POUND. Please come and join us. It's an open forum. It's a Bible. We don't have an open forum. We have a lesson that we have every week, but we do allow people to ask questions and express themselves and all that kind of stuff. So please join us every Sabbath at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, you know, we have to be prepared for this thing. It's a beautiful life. It's a beautiful life. And I believe me, I was in the holiness church. I know all about it. I know what you felt. I know I spoke in tongues. I did all that stuff. This is a beautiful life over here to be able to live this and get to know your Elohim. You will know him in a way that you've never known him before. You know, but take the time to get to know him. You know, take the time to understand who he is and what this is all about. You know, and love on him and let him love on you. You know, and we spend more time repenting over here than a little bit. We sorry. Please forgive us. Please come get us. Have mercy on us. You know. And we know, you know, those who sin much love much because much has been forgiven. You know, so. And on that note, we come to the end of our show. I was going to give everybody a few minutes to say something and let Brother Yerushalayim lead us out in prayer. Erico 504, what would you like to say to the audience?
Well, I enjoyed the class, and I invite everybody to come on the Sabbath to learn more. I've learned a lot over the years, and I feel I have grown more in the Word than I was in the past. And thank you.
All right, so area code 214.
I just say thank you for this forum, and I pray blessing on everyone.
All right. Brother Yerushalayim, would you lead us out in prayer, please?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Is everybody turning to the east? Get ready by about 10 seconds, 30 seconds to turn to the east. Now we're going to go ahead and pray. We come before you this day, Most High. We thank you for everything and all things that you've given and provided for all of us. We come to you with our hearts and say thank you for the sustenance you provided each and one of our families, the health you provided, the strength you provide to our families. We pray that you hear those of us that haven't received enough yet, and we pray that you heal them and strengthen them as well. We pray first and foremost for forgiveness of the sins of us and our ancestors and our forefathers that we committed in polluting your name. We also pray, Father, that you spare our people and deliver us out of these lands from where you have scattered us for reproach and to a place where we can focus on you and you alone and get ourselves together. We also pray, Father, that we come together as a nation, as a people, not as individual groups or camps, but as a people. Come together and turn our hearts toward one another, male and female, husband and wives and children. We thank you for everything that you've given and provided, and we say, blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. All right, you guys, well, on that note, we pray that you guys have a wonderful rest of your week. Don't forget, we will be here at our regularly scheduled program next week, and we'll see you guys then. Shalom, shalom, everyone, and we will see you then. I hope you guys have a great day. Bye.
Shalom.
Shalom.